This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio brings you prescribed listening from our trusted contributors at the Ontario Pharmacists Association.
Welcome back. We often treat minor aches and pains, sore throats and colds and other things with over-the-counter medication. And a lot of drugs that used to require a prescription are now available over the counter. And I think that's one reason that we often tend to treat them less seriously than something that we get in that little plastic bottle from the, you know, prescription from the doctor, because they're so easy to pick up. But just as prescription medication can sometimes have adverse side effects, the same holds true for over-the-counter medications. And that's why it's always a good idea to speak with your pharmacist about your symptoms and the best way to treat them, and also about everything that you're taking, not just that over-the-counter anti-inflammatory for your arthritis or whatever it may be. Today, I am here with our trusted contributor from the Ontario Pharmacists Association, a rather new trusted contributor, Teresa Diaz. Hi, Teresa. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
So, Teresa, do you find that people take it a lot less seriously because it is over-the-counter?
Yes, they do. And there's so many choices for so many things that it's better to be well-informed before you just pick one thing off the shelf. The writing also is very small in some of the
products. I was going to say.
So for people like me that need reading glasses and forget to take them to the store, asking the pharmacist for help if you're not sure if the ingredients are right for you is a good idea.
Okay, I'm going to give the numbers out. Teresa is here to take your questions about interactions with over-the-counter medications. That's our topic for today. But really, any other question you have about pharmaceuticals, about medication that you're taking, about something you may have heard about, and those numbers to call are 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And Teresa, my understanding is that it can almost be more dangerous with an over-the-counter, because if you're, you know, you talk about those little notes about what's actually in the drugs, and if you're taking one thing, it might have, you know, your daily dose of, I don't know, ibuprofen, but there might be a bunch of it in something else that you're taking for something else, and you won't even know.
Correct. So there's, you may be taking, you may have a flu or something else that has several symptoms, a runny nose, a congestion, headache, aches and pains, and you take a Tylenol in the morning because you had a headache, and then you have time to go to the pharmacy, and now you want to buy something for your runny nose or your cough or something like that. And because there are so many combination products, if you don't read the label, you are going to take the same ingredient many times over, because some of the products contain acetaminophen, which was in your Tylenol, for example. And so you need to add everything you take throughout the day to make sure that you don't overdose on one specific ingredient. Or if you take two products, one for a cold and one for a flu, and you don't read the small print and what the ingredients are, you may be doubling up on the same class. You take two decongestants from two different ingredients because you couldn't tell what was in the bottle.
Yeah, and what can some of those side effects be from that?
So if you take too much Tylenol, if you take acetaminophen, you should, from several products, you should add it up throughout the day, and you should not exceed 4,000 milligrams per day. The other one is ibuprofen. It's in many products, single products, combination products, so you have to add it up. And if you take products with decongestants, too much of it can be bad, can increase your blood pressure, can make you hyper, can make you anxious. If you take too many antihistamines, you may get drowsy. It might not be safe to drive after. It might not be advisable to go to work and fall asleep at your desk because you took too many antihistamines and things like that.
Okay. What about medications that can interact with alcohol? Are there any of those things that you should not take with alcohol? For instance, my understanding is that Tylenol can really harm your liver. So is it a bad idea to be drinking when you take Tylenol, or what's the story?
Everything in moderation. So if you take a recommended dose of Tylenol a day and don't go over the recommended dose, and you are a moderate drinker, it's not a big deal. But if you are a heavy, chronic alcohol drinker and you take a lot of Tylenol, now you have two risk factors for liver disease, and that increases your risk of getting some liver problems. So if you don't have any liver problems, you find to stick with the recommended dose. If you already have liver problems or you drink too much alcohol, don't take acetaminophen.
Okay, and you'd be better off with ibuprofen.
Exactly. But if you have an ulcer, you're not supposed to take ibuprofen. So when in doubt, ask the pharmacist.
Yeah. I was sick last week and through Monday, and my pharmacist helped me out. And one of the things, I had some stomach issues, and I don't know if I normally I take an over-the-counter drug called Pepcid Complete, stopped working, and he gave me something else called Nexium. So what was the difference between those two things?
So they both are stomach medications, but they have different ingredients in them. So they belong to the two different classes. So Pepcid would be one class, and the Nexium would be another class. Nexium was actually one of those products you said that used to be prescription only, and now it's available over the counter for a short-term therapy. So the box, it's probably 14 tablets,
yep.
And if it doesn't work, you should see the doctor after that and not continue taking it over the counter.
Okay, and can you take both those things together?
You shouldn't. You probably don't need to.
Yeah.
One or the other would be sufficient.
Okay. We have to take a quick break. I'm going to give the numbers out again. I'm here with our trusted contributor from the Ontario Pharmacists Association, Teresa Diaz, and we're talking about the interactions you can get with over-the-counter medication and how you have to take it seriously, even though it's, easy to just pick up. But she can answer all of your questions that have to do with the medication you're taking, with the doses, with something you may have read about something new, all of those things. We're here waiting for a spring storm. It's spring. It's allergy season. So a lot of people are probably doubling up on their antihistamines. There are different kinds of antihistamines. She's here for all of those questions. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740, and we'll be right back.
Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio brings you prescribed listening from our trusted contributors at the Ontario Pharmacists Association.
Welcome back. I'm here with our trusted contributor, Teresa Diaz from the Ontario Pharmacists Association. We've been talking about drug interactions, specifically with over-the-counter drugs, but she's here to take your calls and your questions on anything pharmaceutical. The number is 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. It is finally spring. It's allergy season, and there are all kinds of allergy drugs to choose from, including a new generation of drugs. Teresa was just reminding me of the name of this pill that I actually found quite effective, called Arius.
So there's a new generation of antihistamines. It's not that new. It's been around for a few years, but it's still called new because I guess it's the most recent one. And those tend to cause less drowsiness than the old generation, which were the most commonly known to us is Benadryl, and that tends to cause drowsiness to most people. And now we have three of the new generation, second generation antihistamines, available over the counter. They cause less drowsiness, but still some of them can cause more drowsiness than others. So, and also it comes as a plain antihistamine, and other come in combination with a decongestant. And you have to be careful with that, because if you take a decongestant, it's a stimulant of sorts, and it may increase heart rate and blood pressure.
So if you have some kind of cardiovascular issues, should you generally stay away from drugs that have decongestants?
Exactly, because of the risks of increased heart rate and blood pressure.
Uh-huh. By how much do you know?
You shouldn't take them.
I know, but by how much would it increase your...
It depends. It depends on how high your blood pressure already is, so it's impossible to say. So you can check with your doctor to see if your blood pressure is under control and your doctor is okay with you taking a decongestant. You can try it. If you need antihistamine with a decongestant property, the one I know of is the one you mentioned, Aerius. It's also available in generic. All of the antihistamines these days are available in brand name and generic. And this particular antihistamine, the ingredient is desloratadine, and they claim that it also takes care of nasal congestion and runny nose and all the other allergy symptoms, itchy eyes and teary eyes and all that. And you have two others that may work for you better than this one, and it's a matter of trying it.
So what are the two others?
So the other one is loratadine, which is brand name Claritin. And then we have cetirizine, which is the Reactan. And all of these, as I said, are available alone or with a decongestant. If you're not sure which one is which, please ask the pharmacist.
Okay, yeah, and remember the decongestant can increase your heart rate and all of that. And is there any rhyme or reason to why some of these work better for some people and others? I mean, is there any way you can figure it out without trying them?
If I could, I would be rich by now. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to figure out why some antihistamines are better than others for the same person. And even in different years, I have customers that come and say, oh, this worked for me so well last year, and this year I've tried it, and it's not doing anything. We don't know why. My recommendation is usually, if you're very bad, start with one. Take it for 6 or 7 days. If it doesn't give you any relief, try another one, and so on and so on.
Okay, trial and error.
Exactly. When you hit the right one for you, you stick with that for the rest of the season.
Okay, let's hear from Jean in Mississauga. Hello, Jean.
Hello there. This isn't regarding any allergies or anything, but I wanted to ask a question about Vanica, V-A-N-I-Q-A. It's a cream for hair growth.
Mm-hmm. And what is the question?
I want to know if there is anything else I can get over the counter that would do the same work.
Mm. And where are you applying it, may I ask?
On the chin.
I see.
And I'm 82 and a female, and it's just bothering me so much. Mm. But for a very tiny tube, I have to pay $100.
Wow.
Is it working?
It's working, but I have to use it every day for, I guess, forever. And it's only 30 grams.
And it's not covered by a senior's plan.
I'm sorry?
It's not covered by the senior's plan.
No.
I know.
Have you tried threading?
No, I haven't.
At your esthetician? I mean, it's not a solution, but it's a lot cheaper than that, and it take care of it. You'll have to keep doing it, but
yeah.
Yes, unfortunately, I do not know of any product over the counter that would replace that one.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jean, for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's a big problem. A lot of things are expensive if they're so-called optional.
Mm-hmm.
And as are, I mean, it's interesting, you know, a lot of drugs that were available on prescription where they would be paid for through a blood a drug plan or something, over the counter, you know, they're expensive.
That's right. And they're no longer covered.
Okay. Let's go to Jennifer in Scarborough. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have two questions, and one is about statin.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor gave it to me because my cholesterol is high.
Mm-hmm.
But I find when I take it, I have like a nervous shaking.
Mm.
And like I jump in my sleep at night.
Oh.
So I was taking it for about 2 weeks, and then I stopped taking it for about 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And all that reaction went away.
Because
I wanted to find out if it was that was causing it, because it's the first time I ever take it.
Mm-hmm.
So after the 4 days, I was fine. I didn't have that shaking, neither mm-hmm. did I have that jumping in my sleep. So I started taking it again,
mm-hmm.
and I got the same reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my doctor about it, and he took me off of it.
Okay.
The next question is about, I don't know if it's about Plavix.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, my doctor says it's a blood thinner.
Mm-hmm.
How long should one be on that? Because I've been on it for maybe about 4 years now.
What are you taking it for?
Well, a couple of years ago, maybe about 6-7 years ago, I had what he called a mini stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Because my vision went black.
Mm.
I went to my specialist, my eye specialist, and he said it was, I went and did a MRI.
Okay.
And the result came back that it was mini stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So they put me on Plavix.
You might have to stay on it for quite a while for prevention so you don't get another stroke.
Okay.
But you have, because I don't know your particular health story, you may have to ask your doctor for a more certain answer. But it's probably something you're going to have to be on, or something else similar to that, to prevent another stroke.
Okay.
And you didn't ask me a question about the statin. You want to ask me what you had in mind when you told me about the adverse effects?
Yes, I just wanted to know, does that really happen to everybody, or it varies?
It varies. There are several adverse effects that have been reported by some people. There's a long list. Not everybody gets them all, and not everybody gets them to the same extent. And the other thing that sometimes happens is after you take it for a week or two, those adverse effects go away. How long did you say you tried for? 2 weeks?
I took it for about 5 weeks.
Okay. If you're not comfortable with that one because of the adverse effects and you need a statin, you can ask your doctor to give you a different one. And even though they are in the same family, the same class, you may have different adverse effects.
Well, what he changed it, and now he put me on Crestor.
Okay, yeah. And is that better?
Well, I just started that okay. this week.
Okay, let's hope so.
Okay.
Well, that's and thanks very much for your call, Jennifer.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, and thank you.
Bye-bye. That's the other thing, is that, you know, generally speaking, if one thing doesn't agree with you, you can get something else that's similar.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a very good way to go. It's interesting. I am about to do an interview, and we'll have a story in Zoomer Week in Review, because there's been a study locally done that people who can Google a lot of the side effects,
nocebo effect,
for statins tend to get more of those side effects. I'm sure it's true for other drugs as well. You know, we're all thinking about those crazy American commercials where they read all the side effects really, really fast. But it's amazing how the mind can influence this.
to a great deal. Yes, it does. And that's why some of the doctors don't want patients to know all the side effects, because they think if they know, they're going to experience them all. It's one of those things. If you don't know what side effects you're expecting, if you get them, you may get scared. If you know too many of them, you may have them all, even though you really don't. So it's hard to have the right way.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you have to disclose side effects.
Exactly.
That's a legal
obligation.
And yeah, but it's really interesting.
It is. It was a very interesting fact.
Yeah.
The study found out that English-speaking patients had more side effects than non-English-speaking, I guess because they were more available on the internet and the media, so they could read the side effects.
And exactly.
Seemed to have more reported adverse effects than non-English-speaking patients. It was a very interesting study. I don't know all the details, but I just heard about it this week as well, and it's the nocebo effect.
It's called the nocebo effect, which is kind of the opposite of the placebo effect, which is where you might be only taking a sugar pill, but you have a good effect. You're expecting a good result, so you get the good result. And with the nocebo, you're expecting a bad adverse reaction, and that's what you get.
Interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting, and yet another thing. You know, do you find that your patients want to know everything about the drug that they're taking?
Some do, some don't. I guess some of them know enough that if they know all about it, they're going to be influenced and start thinking, oh, I have this, oh, I have that. Some of them don't want to know about it. Some of them prefer to know. And I think to some extent, patients should be told some of the adverse effects most commonly reported, which doesn't mean that everybody reports the same. If there's a high percentage of having a stomach pain with an ibuprofen taken on an empty stomach, I would tell my patients, please eat before you take it to avoid the stomach pain. You may not get it, but a lot of people do. So it's better to prevent it than to have taken it without food. So that kind of thing, I think it helps. Some of the effects can be minimized beforehand, so it's good to know what they are.
Yeah, well, prevention is always the best way. Mm-hmm. Okay, Teresa Diaz, our trusted contributor from the Ontario Pharmacists Association, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for Fight Back for today. Remember, Free for All Friday coming up tomorrow. We'll hear from you then. And right now we break for traffic and news.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.